I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tua's brother is now at Maryland. To give us the inside access to that and much more, it's the head coach at the University of Maryland, Mike Locksley. And, Coach, apologies on the name, but congratulations and welcome in.
Well, thanks for having us, and it's Talia Tagovailoa.
Easy for you to say, Coach.
It's not that hard, Ken. You better get used to it, buddy.
Talia Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Well, I got it. I got it close to right, Coach. Yeah. Talk about, I guess, what you saw in him down in Alabama. I guess you have a relationship with the family back when Tua was there and you were there, and then his announcement of coming to Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, obviously played a part in the recruiting process with him. You know, when Tua came to Alabama, obviously I was part of that staff as well. And so a long-standing relationship with the Tagovailoa family, and, you know, anyone that knows that family knows that they're really a faith-based, family-oriented type of family. And so, you know, once they made the decision to leave Alabama, obviously we had a quarterback need with having two returning scholarship players at the position. And, you know, we started dialogue to figure out if this would be a good fit for him as well as it is for us.
Coach, we have Bobby DePaul on regularly to break down film for us. He did a lot of work on the draft. And he happened to have been down in Alabama at various times and had a chance to see this young man play with his own eyes and then watched a bunch of film of him. And the thing he kept kind of imparting to us was, like, what he can already do with his legs is pretty special. And whether it turns into a Russell Wilson type thing or whatever, there's development to go. But he just felt like because of those family, the strength of that family and what a competitive young man this is and what an athlete he is, that there's a lot that you guys could tap into.
Yeah, I mean, I know the thing that jumps out to anybody that has seen him play is the natural athleticism. I think that is something that's a skill set that he is really strong, but he's also a really accurate passer. I mean, you know, as I've told people, you know, these are both kids that were coached by June Jones all through their, you know, middle school and youth league over there in Hawaii. And so they came up doing what quarterbacks do. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for June Jones and the job he does in developing quarterbacks. So, you know, what you see out of Tua and what you see out of Talia, you know, is, I think, a direct reflection of some of the training they've had. And then their dad has done a lot of work, obviously, with both kids, you know, as a quarterback guy. And I know with them growing up, and I know how much work the dad did with them. So both family members, Tua and Talia, have some ability in the passing game, throwing the ball accurately. But I do think the thing that jumps out with Leah is obviously his athleticism, and when things break down, the ability to extend plays but still make throws. So, you know, those are things I saw on high school film. Those are things I know. You know, he played in 5 games last year for Alabama. He did not redshirt. So I know he was highly thought of when we recruited him to Bama. And for us, he adds, you know, another piece to the puzzle to a quarterback room that, you know, includes Lance LeJean, who we think has a bright future for us, as well as Josh Jackson, who will be in year 2 in our system.
Coach, so I guess the next question, and I don't know how much you know or can answer about this, is eligibility. And I know there's rumblings that the NCAA might allow kids to transfer without sitting out a year, but that's been tabled. What do you think the chances are he can play this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, it's still early. We signed and brought him in with the intention that he would not be available to play this year. Obviously, there's waivers and other processes that, you know, can be explored with the kid and his family and from our end. And obviously, we will do whatever we possibly can to see if there is any opportunities to see if he would be available based on getting a waiver with the, you know, one-time transfer rule being tabled until next January. But we signed him with the intentions and thoughts that he would not be available. We thought the rule would get shelved for this year. But, again, it's way too early. But our expectation, if there is a way to see if there is a waiver that can be submitted that would allow him to, then we would definitely look into it.
Coach, because of the importance of the position and because it's your area of expertise, I'm guessing this doesn't change a whole lot in terms of just continuing to recruit both locally and nationally. I guess just because these are good problems to have if you end up having, you know, more than enough qualified quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at kind of how we build our roster and how we allocate our scholarships, we're still one short of where we want to be in the quarterback room. You know, I think if you look around the country, every program typically is going to have four scholarship quarterbacks in their program. Now we have three with the addition of Talia. And, you know, so that still leaves room for us to go out and maybe sign one in next year's recruiting class. You know, obviously with him and not knowing whether he'll be available for us this year still leaves us pretty limited because we've got two scholarship guys. And so we invested in a couple of walk-ons that we think have added value to the quarterback room for us. You know, David Faust, you know, kid down from here in Maryland, as well as, you know, Evan Lewandowski, who was a Division III player there in Wisconsin. Both those guys we expect to add competitiveness to the quarterback room, give us some depth, along with the other two scholarships. And, you know, we've got Eric Nigerian, who is a walk-on from DeMatha, who's been in our program a year. So, we still have room for a scholarship quarterback in next year's class because our goal is to always have four scholarship quarterbacks in our program based on how we allocate our scholarship numbers.
Coach Mike Locksley joining us. It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. If you turn on ESPN every day, you watch some of the programming that they're already debating about college football and whether it will be played this year. For your guys at Maryland, are you preparing as if you're going to have a season and it's going to start on time?
Yeah, we're mentally and you know, obviously putting together plans that would allow us to be prepared to be able to play this year. I mean, until we hear otherwise, we'll always prepare with the mindset that there will be college football. And, you know, again, as we've talked about before, it's still so fluid a situation for us. I do know some things have been voted on by the NCAA recently that allows, you know, some facilities to open back up based on state, local government availability. And, you know, we're in a situation here in the state of Maryland where we've got parts of our state that are open and other parts like Prince George's County where we're located that are a little slower because of the numbers still not in a decline. So we'll always continue to put the health and safety of our players first. But again, when and if this thing is allowed to be opened up, we'll move forward to make sure our facilities are prepared for us to be able to get our players back on a voluntary basis, at least through the month of June.
Coach, if you want to plead the fifth on this one, I will totally understand. But we've been talking here on the show for a few weeks now about what the NCAA has basically done, which is more or less say, we're going to kind of sit this one out and you guys figure it out with your jurisdictions, wherever you're located, within your conference, within your institution, and within the government that oversees you, you know, what you can and can't do. That doesn't strike me personally as really strong leadership in a time like this. And you've got Ohio State and some of these other schools basically coming out saying, yeah, we're going to have guys, you know, kids on campus at the beginning of June and 10 at a time, but we'll see where that goes. Would you like to have more directive from the national governing body?
Well, I think it's tough because just like, you know, the NFL, you know, which I think they've got tremendous leadership there and everybody's dealing with the rollout and when you can. And I think obviously because of different states are being affected by COVID in different ways. I think from a governing body, the NCAA pretty much has their hands tied, other than maybe legislating what we can and can't do once you are open locally and statewide. So, you know, I don't think it's a battle that they can fight to say, hey, you can't open yours up, but you can. And, you know, I know that we all want parity, obviously, in terms of how we are allowed to prepare for our season. But I do think with the way COVID has attacked us, this country, you know, different regions and different areas are being affected differently. So, again, I have no issue with the way the NCAA is leading the charge in terms of whether or not what we can do when you are allowed to be open, because, again, just like our, you know, leaders of our country, they're putting a lot on state and local people to make decisions because they know what's best for them at that time more than someone just from a overall big picture that doesn't deal with the day-to-day numbers and issues that COVID has presented us.
Coach, I don't know what your private expectations were for last season. You got off to the great start and the win over Syracuse was ranked, and then things sort of went sideways for you. But I'm curious just for you how much you're itching to get back. You've basically, the promise was you were going to keep kids home. It looks like you've already started to do that. Big-time players that in the past probably would have went elsewhere are coming to Maryland. How much are you itching to get out there and start this turnaround of this program?
Yeah, there's no doubt. We're prepared, and I'm excited about the opportunity for year two. You know, obviously, like you said, year one isn't what we dreamed of, but I'm pretty realistic in expectations. And as I tell people, anybody that listens, I mean, we just have not been a program that has had stability at the top position. I mean, four head coaches in 5 years and different philosophies kind of play a part in the how things shape, but I'm here to create the stability in our program and how we play and the standard that we will play to. And with year two, I'm excited about the team and the direction of it. I feel like we've really kind of turned a corner in terms of the trust factor of, you know, these players have had all four different leaders and different position coaches during their time here. And now we've kind of returned our staff for the most part, you know, the same guys in year two. So I expect us to take the next step in year two, but still knowing that this is a process that we need to go through. We're trying to expedite the process as quickly as we can with the way we can recruit and develop our team. And, you know, obviously COVID-19 hasn't done us any favors by missing some of these opportunities with spring practice, but we're still doing things we can possibly do to continue to take the next step. And that's, to me, what we're looking forward to doing in year two.
Coach, before we let you go, I have to ask you about the sort of microphone turn that you've done now. You're on the other side of this. You're bringing in some guests late night with Locks. I've been able to check it out a couple times on Twitter, reaching out to people from this area or former Terps who now star in the NFL. It seems like you're having some fun with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's late night with Locks has really morphed into something that, you know, it started out with a way to connect with the DMV community, to show the power of our brand, to show the power of the network of people that, as a program, I've coached, developed, been a part of. And, you know, a lot of people kind of have put it into it's a Terp show, but it's really a DMV type show where we try to people that are from this area. You know, I don't know if you saw the documentary on PG County basketball.
Yes.
And it just shows you that there's just so much talent here. So we use that late night with Locks to try to connect and stay in tune with the local players. But also, I think, to show the power of the Maryland brand and, you know, with me being here and some of the connections we have. And it's been fun. But I can tell you it's not something I'm looking forward to doing. I'm counting down. I think, as I said on Tuesday, I've got three more shows left before Late Night with Locks is put in the
hiatus
in the trunk for a while.
Yeah. Well, less Coach talking and more coaching, right? That would be a beautiful
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
Coach Mike Locksley, we really do appreciate your time, and we are looking forward to seeing that football team on the field, and hopefully we get college football on time and we get a successful 2020 campaign. Thanks so much.
No doubt. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you, Coach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.